Hey, folks, thank you for joining me on this teleconference. It's February 2014, and if you're anywhere near in the Northeast, you know how brutally cold it's been for these last couple of weeks. Anyway, let me express my intention. Folks, my intention this evening is to provide you with meaningful, useful, and substantive wisdom, insights, some truths and philosophies that I hope will support you and guide you through your journey of health and happiness. You know, we all talk about this at the beginning of the new year. Everybody's extending their gratitude. They're asking for health and well-being for yourself, your family. So it's like what we all want this, but are we all doing the things necessary to achieve it? You know, for years, I have used the expression, to know is not to do. And of course, we all can relate to this because there's so much that we all know. But boy, it's tough for all of us to kind of do everything that we need to do. So the goal of this evening is to provide somewhat of a roadmap, maybe a virtual GPS system. And hopefully through my words and my loving energy, the intent is to help guide all of us to more action. Maybe a better way to explain this is to put more attention on our good intentions. Let me repeat that. To put attention on our good intentions. Come on, folks, you know at the beginning of a new year, everybody has all of these great intentions. We all want to go ahead and say, hey, look, I'm going to love more. I'm going to appreciate more. I'm going to take better care of myself. And before you know it, life takes over and what I call the attraction to distraction. And we wind up going back into the needle of the groove and round we go. So once again, it's the intention of this little Tele seminar to help guide you and to get us recommitted to doing a bunch of good things. So we're talking about health. You know, here it is. I'm a chiropractor, a holistic health counselor. I've been doing this now for almost 40 years. Good health. It's what we all want. What does it look like to you? I ask that question because in my mind and in my heart, I've listened to so many people in almost four decades, and too many people seem to acknowledge that really good health is when they're not in pain. It's probably the most common definition, and yet, is that really what good health is all about? For me, it's more about being vibrant. It's more about being active. It's about allowing myself, regardless of my age, to engage in the game of life. So please, let's not just make the lack of pain our definition of good health. So we have a theme this evening, and the theme for me, at least it strikes resonance, is the ability and the willingness to take inventory, that is an honest assessment of our daily choices, our actions, and our habits. Folks, you know, a question that we have to ask ourselves is, do you see, because you go for a preventative checkup once a year to have an evaluation, as that being your vehicle to better health? And that's fine if you choose to do that. But what are those exams really about? It's really about trying to find something. And if we don't find something, we assume that we're well. And yet we hear oftentimes about people, oh, my God, they just went to the doctor, got a clean bill of health, and then, boom, something happens. So the question that I want to ask is, please do take this honest inventory. Please ask yourself if what you see through your mind's eye on your daily choices, actions, and habits, are those things life-affirming and moving you in that excellent direction of which you want to go, or are they life-depleting? Are they taking you away from the direction in which you want to go? So remember, this is a virtual GPS system. It is with my hope and prayer that the information that I share here today touches you in a way that makes you make better decisions going forward that will make this very, very supportive, and I will be extremely happy. So look, in my world, the best and simplest way that I've been able to chunk down this whole concept has been what I refer to as my triune of truth. Yes, align the spine, eat from the vine, calm the mind. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that really mean? Look, let's take a look at align the spine. Yes, you know, I'm a chiropractor. For almost four decades, I've witnessed close to 9,000 people benefit. I've watched my own son who was born with a stroke either in utero or during the birthing process. And through the amazing capacity of the body, the fancy word is neuroplasticity, through adjustments of the spine, working his skeletal system and his muscular system, we were able to create new pathways that made for dramatic changes in terms of his nervous and muscular system. And the thousands of migraine sufferers, generic headache patients, people with low back, sciatica problems, disc bulges, sciatic problems, the whole variety of muscle and skeletal issues. And yes, so many people have benefited, ladies and gentlemen, from a non-chemical, non-invasive, and non-surgical procedure. So what I'm always emphasizing is, please, when you're unsure about something, the number one venue to pursue through my eyes is doing something non-chemical, non-invasive, and chiropractic is a wonderful vehicle for that. But beyond the adjustment, and to me, align the spine is really the umbrella for a bunch of other things. And one that I just want to bring forth today is about physical activity. Oh, am I being boring about, yes, it's important to do some exercise. But folks, in once again, all of these years, there has been just a plethora of information about how critical the human movement is. We live in a society, folks, where if you stop and do this inventory, God almighty, for many of us, 90% of our day is spent in a sitting posture, whether it be behind the wheel of our car getting to and from work, whether it be sitting at our tables to have our breakfast, lunches, and dinners, whether it's at our computer, which represents the great majority of the world, as technology has taken us away from working with our body and working with our hands to truly working with our minds. So we have to be accepting of all that. And what I ask you to do when it comes to this game of physical activity is to ask this very important question. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Now, some of you on this phone can be 15 or 20 years of age. Others can be 30, 50, 70, 80 years of age. Now, I don't know about you, but 10 years is but a heartbeat. When I look back and I think that now I'm going to be 62, I remember my 50th birthday. It was like yesterday. And I know we share the same nervous system. So please, let us understand that as much as we live our lives like we are going to live forever, ladies and gentlemen, we don't. So if you ask yourself, where do you see yourself 10 years from now based upon your mobility issues, please understand that the more you keep your body and all of its joints through active ranges of motion, you are doing life-affirming activities that are going to help you get there. And it's very frustrating because I watch people, ladies and gentlemen, with tears in their eyes, yes, men as well as women, who feel frustrated. They didn't expect that they wouldn't be able to lift their grandchild, get on the floor and play with their grandchild. Others who love different sport activities and love their games of tennis and racquetball and wanted to swim. And due to neglect and lifestyle choices, they have now relegated themselves to not being a participant in the things that they love. So I'm just hammering home once again that, ladies and gentlemen, motion is life, and please look around. Who in your family, people that you know, who do you work with? We see these people every single day. I sympathize, I empathize, but I am the doctor who talks about the game of personal responsibility. If it is to be, it's up to me. And that's what I want for you to walk away from today's little program with, that understanding that you are the director of your life. You are the Spielberg of your life. No one sticks a gun to your head every single day having you make decisions on what you do moment to moment. So please, if you find in your evaluation, in your assessment, that you're kind of stuck in some bad habits, it only takes a moment or it takes words that go right into your heart that can make you make a choice that's different than what you have defaulted to over these last number of years. All right, number two, I want to take a look at, in our second triune of truth, the concept of eating from the vine. Personally, I feel very fortunate to have been exposed to the field of nutrition. I'm going to be 62 years of age. I only wish that when I began my career, my professional career as a healthcare provider, that I had spent more time in this arena. The last decade of my life, I spent an entire year at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. I had exposure to wonderful thought leaders, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Mark Hyman, who wrote the New York Times bestseller, The Blood Sugar Solution, a great book, by the way, for people to take a look at if you are serious about trying to make some nutritional changes in your life. Mark David, go online. He has the Institute of the Psychology of Food. He wrote a wonderful book called Nourishing Wisdom. Dr. Barry Sears, just to name a few, a Harvard MD who is more into functional medicine than the standard administration of a pill for every ill. So once again, with our theme being taking an honest inventory of how we even now nourish ourselves, please spend some time looking at what it is that you choose to consume, that you choose to provide for your family, if you happen to be a mom. And here's a question. In my honest assessment, I am eating mostly foods that grow, or I'm eating foods that are pretty much packaged, adulterated, processed, preserved, that have additives, artificial colors, sweeteners, etc. To the lay person, we can say, well, hey, look, this is the way food is today. Well, it may be. It's a sad set of circumstances, but here's what I want you to take away. Let this be a brain tattoo under this particular title of eating from the vine. Remember, food has the power to harm as well as the power to heal. And the intent of this is to try to bring forth, in a world that is complicated, that a world where everyone is trying to suck our time, we tend maybe not to put as much time and energy and effort into this, I'm going to say, most very, very vital area of food and nutrition. So please understand that this communication and this share is brought to you with zero judgment. It matters not to me whether you're a junk food enthusiast. It matters not to me whether or not you are a absolute raw eater. All I'm asking for all of us is to take an honest inventory of where we're at. Where do we want to go in this game of health and well-being, since everybody says they want to get there? And really just ask yourself, am I being congruent in what it is that I'm saying I want to achieve, and yet my daily actions, choices, and actions are completely the antithesis? Ladies and gentlemen, a question I ask myself, am I a walking contradiction? I don't want to be. What I've learned is that to live a congruent life is where my actions, my words kind of jive. They're together. People will say I'm a congruent, or you're a congruent human being. It's a good place to be, because usually with congruency leads to greater degrees of happiness and greater degrees of accomplishment of whatever it is that those goals are. So let me ask another question. Questions are powerful. The quality of our life is the questions we ask. Do you experience any of the following with any kind of frequency? Do you find yourself exhausted or fatigued fairly often, almost every day, at different times of the day? Do you find yourself feeling very bloated after respective meals, filling up with lots of gas? How many people, we hear about it all the time, experience gastric reflux, you know, that burning sensation, or acidic burning in our stomach? How regular are we, or you, with bowel activity? I mean, elimination, folks, is really important. We don't want to be and remain toxic. So all of these symptoms are, you know, without question, critical important conditions, indications of how your body is interfacing with what it is that you eat. And we must slow down and identify. We must ask questions. You know, we're, this is not the time, because what I'm saying is that this material, it would take an entire semester to really have clarity and an understanding. But it is my hope and conviction that with some of these questions, we will slow our lives down to take a good, accurate, and honest look, to take a look at what foods seem to be supportive and what seems to be problematic. So if we're looking for a map to help move you towards the healthcare desires and a more balanced body chemistry, here's what we need to do. Folks, A, number one, I can only encourage you to eat a great variety of vegetable-based meals. Yeah, all different vegetables, a variety of colors. The cruciferous vegetables happen to be one of the most nutrient-dense of all, the kales, the Brussels sprouts. And whether you like them or not, what I've done is take them and put them into a Vitamix, which is a powerful mix, a particular appliance that's like a blender that can blend a whole variety of water and all these vegetables, and you add a bunch of fruit, and you can make the most amazing nutrition-dense drink that is truly a meal replacement. And, of course, the fruits that are in season. And maybe the important question is why. Why should we be having these vegetables and fruits? Well, first of all of these vegetables and fruits will give you all of the phytonutrients, that is, all of the nutrients, plant-based, that are so critical for the well-being of your body. Vegetables and fruits have enormous amounts of fiber, which are so important in terms of helping to balance blood sugar along with protein. And when we eat a great deal of vegetables and fruits, folks, you're going to be having reduced cravings for all of the simple sugars, the simple carbohydrates that seems to be the bulk of the standard American diet. So look, anyone who's following my online community will know about the Standard Process Purification and Detox Program. Here you have an opportunity to rid your body of toxicity and to help truly reestablish and rehabilitate the gut that has been so abused for so many years. And I will tell you, it is a game changer. I invite you to go to rivervalechiropractic.com. Listen to our post-purification testimonial videos. Listen to what has happened to these individuals. Everything, folks, from significant weight loss to dramatic blood chemistry changes, you know, cholesterol, triglyceride reduction, blood viscosity, that is how thick blood is, will change dramatically as a result of eating a more vegetable and fruit-based diet. Dramatic increases in energy. We had even one patient who had fibromyalgia, one of the more challenging healthcare conditions, that after her 10th day of being on the purification detox program, literally had 90 to 95% of all of her pain dissipate. And that was almost a year ago. And today I still work with her, and she still cannot believe how much better she feels. So look, the intention is to help you put more attention on these good intentions. The program is great. It's nice to listen to me. I'm enthusiastic. I'm motivated to share this message. What's going to happen for some people, maybe most people, they're going to be excited about this, make some changes, and then before you know it, fall back into the groove of the vinyl record, and round we go. So it's important. You must support yourself by participating. I invite people to jump back onto my site and look at some of the blogs, to read something every day inordinately helpful. To help support your goals of feeling better, looking better, having your body or having a body that runs better, it's all based upon putting better fuel into your body. And folks, I'm going to leave you with another question. You've got to find your why. Why? Why bother? Why participate? Why even take any of this information? The fact that you're on this call, you have something inside of you that either is desirous of more information or helping you to find your why. Why participate? Why change some of these habits? And I'm telling you right now, I cannot answer that for you. What I can do is give you my why. I think about this and have thought about this for years. Here's my why. Folks, I don't want to be like the average American senior citizen in this country. What I want is to be vital. I want to be energetic. I want to be able to swim, to play racquetball. I want to, when the time comes, to be able to play with my grandchildren and participate fully with them in whatever they're doing. And I don't want to be a burden to my children. I have found all too often that it becomes very frustrating for people when they have to deal with and cope with grandparents. And of course, we are all going to eventually get there. I just want to delay that final period. I want to maybe have maybe my last year of my life or 6 months of my life be more of a traumatic situation, but not the last third of my life from age 60 to 90, if in fact I have that many years. So I simply want a healthy me. Give my friends, my family, the opportunity to live their lives without me being a liability. Now, finally, I'm coming to the last part of our triune of truth, which is what I term calm the mind. Ladies and gentlemen, since my first year in practice, what I did see very dramatically and very quickly was a correlation of stress to the symptoms that people came to my office with. Now, this may not be a mind-blowing experience. This may not be surprising to you, but all too often, most patients never correlate that what's going on in their life, their human being side, not their human doing side, but their being, what's happening, what's going on, not only in the real world, but what's going on in the most important space is the space between your ears. So for the last decade or more, we have seen mind-body medicine. There's books, there's literature, and in fact, even in school, they changed studying the endocrine system or the immune system into the psychoneuroimmune system. Yes, psychomind, neuronervous system, endocrine being our hormones. So here's what we've learned, and here's what I want you to take away. Emotions, ladies and gentlemen, lead to hormonal changes in the human being. There are alterations and dysfunctions to our entire body based upon the stress that we experience in our lives. There's a beautiful quote. It's not mine, but I'd like to read this. The body is the battlefield for the war games of the mind. And if you go to my blog, you'll see an entire article that I wrote about this, what came to my mind as a result of reading this quote. And I repeat, the body is the battlefield for the war games of the mind. So stress, ladies and gentlemen, stress gives rise to a whole host of changes to the human body. Stress affecting the heart, giving rise to arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats, and hypertension. Stress impacting our immune system and giving rise to inflammatory hormones, leading to a whole host of dysfunction, digestive-wise, etc. Stress impacting brain chemistry, altering and giving rise to sadness, depression, anxiety. Stress affecting the adrenal hormones, which gives rise to cortisol, which is a fat storage hormone. Not only what you eat, it's what it does to us. Stress affecting the adrenal glands, causing ligament laxity, where joints become unstable and gives rise to subluxations, giving rise to neck and back problems, and also stress affecting the digestive tract, shunting hydrochloric acid to our stomach, leading to poor digestion and a whole host of digestive issues. So look, this subject deserves an entire semester of exploration. We don't have it. So what are the brain tattoos? What are the takeaways from this final component? Once again, the theme. Take an honest and accurate inventory and ask these questions. What do I tend to contemplate most of my day? Yeah, you're busy. You don't think about it, but here's what I've learned. We all have a loop, and that loop is incessant. And despite having lots of things to think about, we default to one type of contemplation, and I ask you to find that out. Secondly, what is my story? What is it that you ruminate in your self-talk? You may not articulate it, or you may. You may tell that story to five different people. In fact, every time you meet somebody, you share your story. And is that story one of empowerment, or is it amazingly disempowering? So I want you to be real conscious. If there's anything that you can take away from this, let it be that I want you to take a look at your language, not only the language that you speak, but the thoughts that you have, because they will have a huge impact on your health and your well-being going forward. And finally, a great question, what energy is coming off of you? Well, what do I mean by that? You know, we have what they call attractor patterns. And here's what I've learned. We all have them both. The question is, which one do you have your volume turned up the most? So for instance, some positive attractors, people who come from a space of love, from support, an I care attitude, and maybe the most powerful of all of these attractive patterns is that of compassion. And we know people who are like that. They walk and they exude from a space of love, support, compassion, and I care. On the other hand, and we all have them, but there are others that come to mind, and those people who really exude a great deal of negative attractors, arrogant, angry, spiteful, argumentative, vindictive, and you can add a whole bunch of other words to that, but you're catching my drift. Here's the all-important question. Do you really know what kind of energy is coming off of you? I believe if we're honest, if we do take good inventory, we will identify. But more importantly, something you may want to do, if you're open for this, you find it important enough, ask for help in this arena. Find a good friend, someone who knows you quite well, a friend, a family member, someone you work with. Ask them, hey, Chuck, how do I show up? And be open and honest to be willing to accept what that answer is. It is a gift since most of us do not see ourselves as we are. We have an illusion of how we show up and who we are as we interact on the planet. So how do we address these issues? Here's a few things as takeaways. Folks, you got to go inward. Quiet time is one of the most valuable times in the course of a day. Yes, quiet time, away from family, away from business, away from the internet, away from your phone. 5 to 10 minutes. Get a pad with a pencil or pen and write every single day what you're grateful for. Yeah, call it a gratitude journal or just take a piece of loose leaf. Throw it away afterwards, but do the event. Do the action so that you can reinforce within that space between your ears more time in appreciation for what I have rather than what I don't have and what I'm going to chase. I invite you, please, to read my blogs. They're good. Or any blog that deals with expanding coping skills. It's a great place. If you don't know where to go, go to rivervalechiropractic.com. Look at the blogs. There is a plethora of good information. And look, all I care is that I have put enormous amounts of time, effort, and energy into trying to support and help myself, help my family, and at this point I'm looking to help as many people as I possibly can. It's not real and material necessarily. It's what I've read, and then I put my own heart through my pen and on paper to try to support those that are having a difficult time navigating choppy waters of life. And please, slow down your responses. You know, we are so much in a default mode. And here's a beautiful quote. Ladies and gentlemen, put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. How often have we shared a quick emotion. And here's another beautiful expression. It says, words are like arrows. Once released, we can't take them back. So it's a beautiful expression, and I'll repeat it. Put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. There is always a beautiful space, the gap between something that was said and your response. Spend some time in that gap. Make it thought through so you don't feel annoyed, angry, and frustrated with yourself amidst some of your own anger, bitterment, or frustration with others, especially with those we love. Always remember this. The circumstances of our life are neutral. We suffer when we attach our story to it. Any circumstance, anything, is but neutral. It happened. It is only your story that you attach to it that will give it either its minus or plus charges. I cannot tell you how valuable that is to really understand. Circumstances and the events of our life are neutral. Yes, your divorce, your loss of money, your loss of a job. Get rid of your story and you will stop your suffering. And finally, acceptance of what is. Yes, surrendering to what is. I have a beautiful blog on surrendering, and no, surrendering does not mean, folks, that you just lay down and be a floor mat to humanity. Surrendering is accepting to that event that has taken place. And now, yes, you put thought through ideas, contacts, and be full of action to make the changes and the necessary strides to bring you back to a better place. Look, it is my sincere hope. I'm going to end at this particular point by just reminding each of you to listen to this message, take from it, I hope, some of the valuable, I call them brain tattoos, just a few things that you can take and make part of your life going forward so that every day of your life does not have to be a carbon copy of the one before. Here's what I've learned, ladies and gentlemen, friends and patients. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. Please become a teacher. Share whatever it is that you've learned with others. The more you speak it, the more you live it. The more you live it, the more you become of it. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to allow me to share what I think are important and valuable philosophies and wisdom that have supported me in my life. Have a great evening. Thank you.